Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you and you. Let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. I want you to grab your Bible and come right in and make yourself right at home here at Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. I know you're going to be in for a wonderful treat on today because we have a wonderful, wonderful lesson. And the lesson is the necessity of holiness. And we must continue to teach holiness is right. And we're going to be hearing with some things on today. And I know you're going to be tremendously blessed. So grab your Bible, come on in, make yourself nice and comfortable as we move forward in our lessons for today. So why don't we pray? Father, we come right now. We thank God for every one of our listeners. We take authority right now over the airway and declare and decree, God, that it will be conducive for your people to receive your word, your heart, your thoughts, your stature, and your ways and testimony when it comes to holiness. Father, we ask that you bless us. We ask that you quicken us. We ask that you undergird us and bless us in a mighty and special way. And Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Hebrews 12 in verse 14 states, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And our lesson, scripture lesson, is going to be found over in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 17 and Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 through 8. And it reads on this line, it said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not up under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your yourself servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether it be of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanks that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, but I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderer and whoremonger and sorcerer and idolater and liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, let's look at this and this lesson for today as God grant us with a greater understanding about his holiness. God is, as we know, is holy. Holiness is one of the characteristics of God. In other words, he is totally and absolutely pure and undefiled. Because of this attribute of God, he cannot tolerate sin in any form or fashion. It is against his nature. It was because of Lucifer's sin and God's holiness that Lucifer was cast out of heaven. Lucifer, also known as Satan, was one of the angels of heaven, proud and created havoc in heaven. Satan and those angels which follow his lead were cast out of heaven immediately because God will not abide with sin. Now, God created a beautiful world and placed Adam and Eve in a wonderful paradise called the Garden of Eden. The enemy deceived them, however, and they sinned and lost their state of conscious innocence. They lost their state of innocence. Humanity faced several judgments because of their disobedience. One aspect of judgment was death. They were sentenced to die, and they began to age. But the worst judgment of all was the separation from God. Because of their sin, Adam and Eve lost their sweet time of communion with God. Even in the dark hour of sin, however, a ray of hope was beaming earthward from heaven. God promised a Redeemer to deliver people from sin and bondage. The blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, would make salvation possible for the human race. The eternal God who clothed himself in flesh and became our sin offering. Mankind experienced salvation through an experience called the new birth. Through the repentance, baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, we are born again and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. At the initial point of the new birth experience, a person is perfect, a perfect babe in Christ, and has much more growing to do. This growth process is maturing in Christ and becoming more like Jesus. A person takes on the holy nature of God at his spiritual birth, but he still lives in a fleshly body. Holiness is necessary to cleanse and to prepare him to live a Christian life here on earth and ultimately to prepare him from heaven. Without holiness, we cannot see the Lord. Now, let's take a look further in the scripture. Holiness is necessary for the child of God's life. We are dead to sin. Now, before coming to God, a person is alive to sin. Indeed, sin is the master and the reins in his life. Sometimes we might wonder how and why some individual commit horrible acts of violence and sin. It is because they are not in complete control. They are serving their master, Satan. For this reason, people are bound by drug, alcohol, and sinful pleasure. Enslaved individuals often despise the life that they are living, but they feel powerless to deny their sinful urges. When we come to God, the first thing that we must do is to believe in God. We must believe that he is able and willing to help us, and we must have faith in his word, which we will motivate us to obey him. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Further, with true faith in God and his word, a sinner will feel remorse for his sin, convicted in his heart for his sinful past. He repent of his sins and confess his transgressions to God, seeking his forgiveness. This is a spiritual death, dying out to sin and to selfish desire. Now, because the sinner has died spiritually to his own sinful will, a burial is then in order. The scripture revealed that we are buried with Christ in water baptism as we are immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, Romans 6:4. A person has died spiritually in repentance and has been buried in the name of Jesus Christ. He is ready to receive a resurrection to new life in Christ. Receiving the infilling of the Holy Ghost completes the new birth experience by resurrecting him to walk in the new spiritual motivated life. Now, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, dead to our past life of sin and defeat. The old things are passed away and all things become new. Now, the new convert takes on the divine nature of Christ. His desires are changed. The things he once loved, he hates, and the things that he once hated, he loves. For instance, God hates sin, and after receiving the Holy Ghost, the new birth child of God also hates sin. We lose our appetite for sinful pleasure that fulfill our lives before our conversion. Unfortunately, this does not mean that the child of God is incapable of sinning. The fleshly nature is still present in us, but we can live victorious over sin as long as we keep the old nature of sin under submission to the new spirit within us. Now, a person will sin if he allows their fleshly desire to overpower the influence of the Spirit of God. As long as we're living in the Spirit, there's a battle of control for our life. We'll continue to rage. But God give us power to overcome sin and to live holy. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, the early church members were first called Christian at Antioch because they reminded people of the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous compliment. Holiness is a process of growth where over a period of time we conquer fleshly traits and become more like Jesus. We do not experience the new birth 1 week and become matured saints the next week. It is a day-by-day walk with Jesus Christ. It has been said that the conversion is a miracle of a moment, but the making of a saint is a lifetime job. Now, let's look further. The child of God should learn not to be satisfied at any certain level of spiritual growth and stop there, since it takes a lifetime of growing in grace to approach the perfection and holiness. And to cease to grow is to begin to shrivel and die. Now, holiness and perfection are closely related. Perfection means that there are no flaws or variants or blemishes in something. God is holy and perfect. He needs no improvement. God is the epitome of purity and perfection. He is the pattern of perfection which we are to strive to attain to one day. While in this life, we will never achieve absolute perfection, for it is ever elusive goal. This is no excuse for careless living and worldliness, however. The scriptural mandate is that we continually strive for perfection. We constantly press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Holy living is necessary for the child of God. We must live holy to even exist spiritually. We will either live for our lives as dead to sin and let Christ live within us, or we will die spiritually. To be holy is twofold. To be holy is to be set apart from God, that is, separated from sin and the things of this world. Holiness is also to be consecrated and dedicated to God and to his purpose on this earth. Let us look further. We are alive to Christ. The flesh will lust after the former things if we allow it to. It is forever seeking to gain dominion over the spiritual man and bringing the person into bondage again. Paul admonished us to not allow sin to reign in our mortal body. We are not to yield our body members as members of ungodly living any longer. We can overcome these temptations by being alive in Christ, that is, being sensitive to and being led by the Holy Ghost. Now, a child of God must always be filled with the Spirit of God. Human beings are no match within their own power of the enemy of their soul. Only the Spirit of God has the power to help a person overcome sin. We can be thankful that God did not leave us vulnerable to the forces of evil. He knew that we could not do it on our own. So he gave us the wonderful Holy Spirit to give us the needed power. It is another demonstration of the love that God has for his creation. The liberty, the freedom that God has given us to grow in his grace and holiness does not give us license to sin or abuse the grace of God. Romans 6:15. Then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. If you yield ourselves to sin, we will become servants of sin again. God wants us to remain victorious, overcoming believers. When we live holy, God, Christ, is sitting upon the throne of our life. We obey his commandments and are his servant. We use our talents and resources for the glory of God. It is no longer our fleshly arrogance that's seeking prominence. Rather, we want to radiate Christ to everyone whom we meet. Our members become the hands, feet, eyes, and mouth to be used to God's glory. Further, holiness necessary to please God. Holiness is necessary to see the Lord. Let's look further. Holiness is sometimes associated with the legalism by some people. In fact, Pentecostals are sometimes accused of legalistic. But holiness is a state or a condition of living a godly life. It is not to be confused with standards of holiness. Standards, whether corporate or personal or guidelines, which are structured to help us to live disciplined life. And I want you to catch that because many times people say, you know, all the standards and these guidelines. Guidelines are in place and standards are in place to help us, to enable us to live a disciplined life. And that's what God wants us to do, is to live a disciplined life. Now, they do not in and of themselves create holiness, but they are needed to help us to control our flesh and unruly spirit and maintain order within our walk with the Lord and create unity within the body of Christ and striving for our mutual goal of pleasing God. We do not adhere to standards or rules in an effort to gain salvation, for salvation is a gift from God. But they do provide us with biblical guidelines on how we are, as children of God, to conduct ourselves, even in this world. It's very critical for us to know that. Now, holiness is a part of a loving relationship that we have with God. In everything we say or do, we are seeking to please him. No standard or act of discipline will gain or merit the favor of God. Rather, they are our responses to his holiness we received in our salvation experience. They are biblical principles that are applied to the way we live, and we always seek to please God by presenting ourselves in holiness as living sacrifice. A husband, wife, or a child that try to adhere to a behavior that affects their love for each other, they do not want to hurt those who are the object of their affection. Whether they do everything possible to try to delight and please their companion. Holiness is necessary to please the Lord, to see him in the day in peace someday. Anything that will help us collectively and individually to be holy inwardly and outwardly as people of God is surely worthwhile. God desired to dwell in a clean temple, and his temple today is the lives of his people. Our being, our body, our spirit, our soul is where God dwells. He is holy, and he rightfully demands that his people be holy if they reside within them. Oil and water will not mix. They are foreign to each other and will never come together, for they are incompatible. In a similar fashion, God and sin will never mix together. They are simply are not compatible. The scripture commands us to keep ourselves separate from the world and to be holy, even as he is holy. 2 Corinthians says, chapter 6 and verse 17 states, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It is the desires of every child of God to make heaven his eternal home, to see Jesus in peace and hear him say, well done. Holiness could never cover the subject of our spiritual vision. Carnal or worldly people mind the things of the flesh. Their desires and appetites are centered around things that appeal to their flesh and the base thing. Their goal in life, their time, and energies are devoted to what feels good to the carnal man. However, living holy is a direct opposite of this. Godly people have set their affection on the things above. They are interested in pleasing God. They have a clear vision of lost humanity and the harvest field awaiting for reapers. They have the mind of Christ and an understanding of the heartbeat of God as he looks for the lost sheep. Carnal people cannot see the Lord because their eyes are glazed over with sin and lukewarmness. Spiritual people have a clear vision. Now let's look further. A church without spot. Now the Lord wants a pure and holy church, and the only those individuals who are ready when he catches away his bride will be included in that pure, perfect body. Blemishes of sin will spell trouble on that great day. Holiness involves a total person. It is more than just the outward appearance of individual, although that too will affect us as a part of holy living. Holiness is first an experience with God that liberates a person from sin, transforms his sinful nature, and allows God to move into his life. Now, Jesus spoke a great deal about the attitude and motivates people. We must have a pure heart, an honest motive, if we want to please him. There must be an absence of malice, envy, hatred, covetousness. On the other hand, we must be filled with love, compassion, and honesty. In Hebrews chapters 5 through 7, Jesus dealt with many of the attitudes that made for holy living. These are vital, for if the inner man is to keep right with God to himself, in the outward appearance also. How do we keep ourselves clean and spotless in the eyes of God? For God has equipped us in several ways so that we can keep our hearts right. God has given to the church a fivefold ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Through the preaching and teaching ministry of the church, a clear and certain sound gives us direction. Preaching of God's word also has a cleansing effect for the people of God. Ephesians 5:26 said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, through the private devotion and study of God's word, we can grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. During our times of prayer, we can receive gentle nudge from the Lord to instruct us in the ways of holiness. In prayer, we can listen to the Lord as he talk to us about holy living. For those who desire to please the Lord, holiness is a means of consecration and dedication to draw closer to him. God can also speak to us regarding holiness through the voices of our conscience. Guilt and condemnation can cause us to examine our behavior to see whether it is pleasing to God, but this must be evaluated in the light of God's word. Relatively, morality where there are no guidelines or borders is not sufficient or wise. Just because we feel no condemnation regarding the matter of holiness does not free us unless we have examined it in the scripture. Holiness is the separation from sin and the world, but it is not isolation. Someone has said, holiness is installation, not isolation. We are not to separate ourselves to the extent that we're withdrawn from society. God does not intend for us to live like hermits or a secluded wilderness area. However, we want to be able to reach the lost for the gospel. We can maintain our purity and still live among ungodly people. We can love the sinner and yet hate the sin that enslaves him. By inhibiting a godly lifestyle, we can be the salt of the earth and a light in the midst of a dark world. Our good conversation, proper attitude, godly dressing, and the places that we frequent can radiate the message of Christ to a sinful world. Be ye holy, even as I am holy, said the Lord our God. Further, holiness is necessary for heaven. Sin and Satan cast out of heaven. God would not allow heaven to be tainted by sin or even Satan. Satan and a great number of the fallen angels were cast out of heaven long ago because of their rebellion and pride. For thousands of years, Satan and these demons have been at work trying to thwart the purpose of God by deceiving humanity and tempting them to sin. They will eventually be cast into the lake of fire to receive their eternal sentence of damnation. They will no longer create a nuance or pollute the mind and heart of humanity. Isaiah 14 and 12 said, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which weakened the nation?" Now, sin is a transgression of the law, and it is an evil sounding word that acts as, but the act of sin is even more evil. It is impossible to calculate the grief, hurt, and pain that has caused by sin. If every human that have ever lived with multitude was multiplied by the number of times that they have sinned in this lifetime, it would be a staggering figure. But God loves his creation so much that he went to the cross and bore our sin that we could be delivered from the bondage of our sin. He hates sin and the devil and the one who is responsible for all this human carnage will receive his deserved fate forever. He will be joined by the companions who have shared by his destruction of many souls. Now let's look at heaven as a dwelling place for the holy. The promise of heaven is a wonderful hope for every weary pilgrim who awaits the rapture of the church. There is a place that God has prepared that is free from sin and corruption. God has been preparing us a place that defies description, John 14 and 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Here on earth, we are surrounded by the bombard of filth and ungodliness continually. It seems that it grows worse as we draw nearer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Lot was vexed by the ungodly lives of the citizenry of Sodom, so are we troubled by things that are around us. On our job, we hear ungodly conversation, even billboards along the freeway, often lures, and have evil connotation and thoughts in mind. This magazine cover, even in the grocery store, and things that are there at the checkout counter is constantly bombarding in our face, sin everywhere. God, that this situation will be changed soon, for we know that Jesus is soon to come. Heaven will be our new home. Then we will dwell there forever. We will have no worry or temptation. Tears will be forever wiped away, and disease will be gone forever. These assurances give us added incentive to live holy in this present life. We should live holy because we love God and desire to please him. However, the hope of heaven adds to our desire to live godly in this world. And every man that have this hope in him purifies himself, even he is pure. 1 John 3 and 3. Now, in our conclusion, we were poor in sin, but God loved us, and we have been going through a period of growth and perfection as we learn to be holy and godly. Someday he will present us to himself a glorious church without spot or without blemish. Now, in closing, when Isaac saw the Lord, the angels were crying, "Holy, holy, holy. God is pure and undefiled and holy. He cannot tolerate evil in his presence. He cast out Lucifer and the other rebellious angels because of their sin. God would not allow sin to pollute heaven. When mankind was created, he was innocent and pure, but Satan tempted him to fall in Eden. By his act of disobedience, Adam brought spiritual death and sin to human race. God made a way through his own sacrifice for our sin so that we could be delivered from our bondage. Through him, God gives mankind the opportunity to be born again and to take on new nature. We are then new creation in Christ Jesus. But after we are born again, we still have much growing to do. We have to learn to live pleasing to the Lord. A holy life is necessary and essential to please God. Holy living consists of many areas of our life. It deals with our attitude, desires, and conversation. It begins with the inner man, the heart, and it manifests itself in the control of our members. It is manifested by proper dress and lifestyle. Jesus is coming soon after a church without spot or blemish. We seek to live holy so that we can please him and be ready for the rapture when he comes for the church. Jesus is preparing an eternal abode for the church that he loves. He is a place that sin can never defile. Heaven will be our dwelling place. It will be a place where the holy God will be surrounded by a redeemed people, his bride, who has lived a life of holiness. And so, child of God, as it often has been said by our patriarchs and matriarchs, holiness is still yet right. And so we as the children of God, we have to constantly and continually, amen, to strive to live holy and right and upright before God. He said, be holy, for I am holy. He said, for us to come out from among them and touch not the unclean things of this world, and he will receive us. Leviticus said, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Leviticus 20 and verse number 7. And so, child of God, in our closing, as it is always said, it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so let us strive to live holy and righteous before the Lord our God and watch God do some great and mighty things in and through our life. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.